Hello, everyone. This is Dave Berta, news editor at Foresight Health. Welcome to Foresight Health's How Healthcare Revolutionaries Think podcast, where we get inside the heads of people trying to fix the healthcare system. Our guest on today's show is Hal Andrews. Andrews is president and CEO of Trillion Health, a Brentwood, Tennessee-based healthcare management consulting firm. Trillion recently released what I think is a must-read for all healthcare executives, and that's Trillion's report on the 2024 trends shaping the health economy. I interviewed Andrews as part of our How Healthcare Revolutionaries Think series. I spoke with Andrews about the 8 trends identified in the report, and which one alarmed him the most, and which one made him optimistic about healthcare's future. Hey, Al.
Hey, Dave. Yeah. How are you?
Good, good. We could hear each other.
All right.
Yeah, the rest is easy.
Yeah, right.
How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good, good. Looking at the 8 trends in the report, which one either surprised you or alarmed you the most when you looked at the data? Or you kind of intuitively knew those things were happening? Or you know, what was your reaction?
No, the thing that I didn't know is that mortality, post-discharge mortality, has increased since the pandemic, excluding COVID cases.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been talking about quality in this country for 17 or 18 years. We've talked about the triple aim.
Right.
We've talked about to err as human. We've talked about quality measures. We still have mostly the same process measures that we had in 2007.
Yeah.
And yet mortality, post-discharge mortality is up. Average life expectancy is down. Excess mortality is up in the 18 to 64 cohort. And there was a British epidemiologist in the 19th century named William Farr who said that death is a fact, all else is inference. And so my starting point from quality is, what's mortality? And leading up to 2021, we had sort of flatlined in terms of improving mortality.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's going up. And to me, that's really the only really, really important story out of the trends report. It's page 46.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one when I saw it, I told the team, that is the story.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I mean, for me, everything else is secondary to the fact that post-discharge mortality is up. That's a problem for America.
Right, right. I don't know if there's an explanation for that, but is that telling you quality improvement efforts since to err as human, which I think turns 25, is just kind of flatlining, or maybe flatlining is not the right word, but plateauing?
Right. Well, no, that, I just said that word. So, well, I think if you look at it, when you peel the onion back, there are four things that we do most often in hospitals. Hospitals are supposed to report post-discharge mortality for. Fewer than half the hospitals in the U.S. report all four of those measures. Less than 80% of physicians are participating in MIPS. And so the starting point for me is, I don't know how we can say that we're serious about it when we don't even enforce reporting.
Right, right.
Right? So what's the fundamental thing about using data to manage? Well,
right.
Garbage in, garbage out. Well, if half the hospitals in the country don't work, I don't know how we could have
right.
a relevant benchmark. And so, one, I think there's reason to question how serious as a country we are about quality. I think the second thing is, to your point, to err as human.
Yeah.
1999, I think. We still don't have agreement on what relevant quality measures are. I mean, people talk about patient-reported outcomes, but there's no standard belief set about that. You know, we're still paying on process. I think we overweight patient mm-hmm. satisfaction. You know, I think about my experience of the healthcare system, whether or not I was satisfied. How I felt about it is probably not really relevant clinically.
Right, right.
Did I wish that the pain after my shoulder replacement wasn't so bad because the drip didn't work? Yes, I wasn't very satisfied about the pain. But did the shoulder replacement work? Yeah. Yeah, it worked. So I think we've sort of been tilting at windmills for a quarter of a century on quality, which either means we don't have the courage to go wrestle with it, or we just don't know.
Right.
Is it because it's not knowable what quality really is?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think the last piece of it is that it's easy to see that quality exists on a continuum. And so the quality of an ankle x-ray depends on the patient not moving.
Right.
The quality of a craniotomy depends on a lot of things that don't have to do anything with the patient. And either our unwillingness or our inability to distill those things into concrete concepts suggests that we're not going to make a lot of progress on it.
Yeah. It's funny because I recently visited someone in the hospital, and when I got on the first floor elevator, there was a mouse in the elevator and ran across the back, made a left turn, then made another left turn and disappeared into that control box where the buttons are, and I saw the tail go in, and I'm like, oh.
Sort of like he knew where he was going.
Right. Yeah, he knew, knew how to go home. And I think if you took off that panel, there'd be like, you know, a dozen mice looking at you like, hey, turn off the lights. But then, you know, when I got up to see the patient, everything clinically was great. So, you know, she's home now. So it's like I tell the mouse story, but ultimately they fixed what was wrong and everything worked out great.
Right.
So, I mean, I think your point's well taken there. Now, was there one of the eight trends that made you optimistic to balance that alarm when you saw the mortality figure?
It is. It's the last one. And my thoughts about the employers go back to a project that I was working on with Jack Lord back in 2005 when he decided that Humana should go to England. And Jack, being the visionary that he is and being willing to challenge the status quo, decided that Humana's partner to enter England should be Richard Branson.
Yeah.
And Jack knew that I was from Nashville, and he knew about my history in the music business. And he called me and said, I want you to go to England to do a joint venture with Richard Branson for Humana. And I said, why me? And he said, well, because you're the only person who knows who Richard Branson is. And I said, okay, I'll go. And so, in typical Jack style, he said, just go do it, and sent me over there. And I showed up in an office building owned by Richard Branson and started reading policy from the NHS. And I realized what effective policy could do. I don't think the British do a very good job of executing it, but they have always talked about the concept of value for money. And they have a lot of things around that, the National Institute of Clinical Excellence and the concept of quality adjusted life years.
Right.
We've never really had a forcing function to force value for money. And I think that we now do. And it's sort of the convergence of employers having massive spend on healthcare. It is price transparency, the health plan price transparency. And what's really the driving force is Delaware law, because there are 1.5 million businesses incorporated in Delaware. And under Delaware law, officers and directors have a fiduciary duty of using the resources of the company reasonably. And until health plan price transparency, you couldn't really figure out what was going on.
Right.
Now that you have it, you can see the rate spreads intra-market, which for the same payer for the same procedure may range 3 to 6 to 10x in a market. And I think the trend of employers being sued for not exercising their fiduciary duties to their employees and their health benefit design and their health benefit spending is a chance for somebody to come in and say, y'all have got to do better. And what I tell our customers and prospects is, you don't have a value proposition if your quality is below average in your market. Now, quality, again, quality in Los Angeles is different than quality in Dallas, and it's different than in Charlotte. And so you compete inside your market. You don't have to have aspirational competition. But if you have below average quality, you don't have a value proposition. Mm-hmm. And if you have below average quality and above average rates, then you're going to lose.
Right.
And I think that the employers are going to force everybody else to up their game. And really, that's sort of my last hope that we get this right.
Mm-hmm.
Because having spent time in England studying their system, the United States system is a lot more like Britain's than we think.
Okay.
And the parts that we don't have, Americans will hate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm always reading things online about, you know, people who died waiting for an ambulance in England, you know,
right.
But we get some of that here too, but it seems to be a real issue. Now on the price transparency, you're talking about the new rules that affect health plans, correct? Or are you talking about the hospital price transparency rules?
I'm talking about the health plans, the hospitals,
right.
You know, I know why we start with hospitals, but in terms of absolute encounters with the system, hospitals are about 12% of all volume in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so the hospital prices, even though they're helpful, are very limited as a data source, whereas the health plan price transparency has everything. Now, it's not organized very well, and it's a lot of work to unpack it. But once you unpack it, you can see at the CPT code level, at the payer level, in any market, what the spread is. And what employers are now starting to realize is that they're depending on which system their employees choose, they could have a 3 or 4 or 6x difference in price for the exact same procedure. As they start to understand that more, I think they'll change benefit design to, you know, really finally not steer, but incentivize patients to make better financial decisions. And the more they do that, the more people have to compete, the more I think we'll end up back where Regina Herzlinger wanted us to be 30 years ago, which is focused factory.
Oh, right. Focused factories, right. I want to make sure I understand. So with the price transparency, everyone's going to know that employers really have no system to figure out who they're paying what, because it could range from this all the way up to that for the same thing.
Right.
And then people are going to say, hey, you have a fiduciary responsibility to manage resources responsibly, and this is evidence that you aren't. So you need to take what you spend on healthcare more seriously in terms of value.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you look in a large CBSA, pick any code, I'll give you a real example. Outpatient colonoscopy in Dallas, Texas, the spread of what Blue Cross Texas pays outpatient colonoscopy providers in Dallas, Texas is 5x. Now, ironically, the highest paid provider of outpatient colonoscopy in Dallas, Texas is United's surgical care affiliates. So Blue Cross is paying the highest rate in the market to United, which is sort of funny when you think about it.
They wouldn't think it's funny, but I think it's funny.
Well, but that's one example, and I could give you literally 100.
Yeah.
And we show some of that in Trend 8 in the report. There are picked out 10 or 12 markets and showing the spread. You know, sometimes it's 2 or 3X. Sometimes it's six figures for the same thing in the same market.
Right.
And I think as a lawyer, my memory is that when you sue someone, you get their attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that as the CFOs of employers start to get sued for a breach of fiduciary duty, for not managing their healthcare expenditure, that move past the sort of turf benefits to the HR department. I think you'll see more ownership at the CFO level. And in my experience, when a CFO gets really fired up on something, then things are likely to change.
Got it. And then do you think there's law firms out there that are chewing on this right now? Just like, are you part of this class action suit kind of a thing?
Well, I think it's coming. I mean, today it's been individual employees suing their employer.
Ah, okay.
Or it's been the employer group suing their ASO. So Kraft Heinz sued Aetna.
Right, right.
An employee sued J&J. Another employee sued Mayo. So these things are starting to pop up.
Interesting. Interesting. Great conversation, Alex.
You too.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave.
All right. Talk to you later.
Take care.
If you'd like to learn more about how Hal Andrews thinks, please read our Q&A with him on foresighthealth.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Berta for Foresight Health.